Amen. Well, if you would, grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. As we use the life of Asahel as an analogy to our lives and our pursuit of sin and the deadliness thereof. If I can just set for you the scene before we read it, and then we'll read it, and then we'll talk about the danger of pursuing sin. So what has happened is the king of Israel, which is Saul and his three sons, have died in the battle of Mount Gilboa. And a man brings the crown and the armlet of Saul to David and tells him of the news of Saul's death. And so David then rises to power as the king of Judah. While as he spends 5 years as the king of Judah, Abner, who is Saul's nephew and the commander of Saul's army, he spends 5 years regathering the army of Israel after their great defeat at Mount Gilboa. At Mount Gilboa, the army is defeated, Saul is slain, his sons are slain, and all of Israel begins to flee the cities. And so Abner spends 5 years building back up the kingdom of Israel. And Abner takes one of Saul's sons who was not at the battle, and he crowns him the king of Israel. And so at this point, you have the 11 northern tribes of Israel, Benjamin being the leader of them, and you have David as the king of Judah. And there's this escalation of who is the rightful heir, Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, or David, who has been anointed by Yahweh as king. And so you have this rising conflict that's happening. And so they come to the strategic point known as Gibeon. Gibeon is a very strategic point because in Gibeon, you have a very intricate water system with the pool of Gibeon being carved out of rock and holding fresh water. And so you have this rising tension between Judah and the rest of Israel, between David and Ishbosheth. And so what is happening here is that the army of led by Abner, the army of Saul led by Abner, is beginning to invade Judah, to bring Judah back to submission under the leadership and rightful heir of Saul's kingdom. And then you have David's army meeting that invasion with their own force, trying to take this strategic point of Gibeon. And what happens is that no one wants to kill their brother. It would be as though Christian were fighting Christian. No one wants this to happen. And so these two leaders, one being Abner, the other one being Joab, the nephew of David, the commander of David's armies to come, they propose a contest. Some think that it's a contest between 12 fighters from each side who would fight to the death, or more realistically, it is to save bloodshed and to be some sort of wrestling contest with the winner prevailing. And so what ends up happening is these 24 combatants come to the pool of Gibeon, grab each other by the beard and pull out daggers and kill each other. And that creates the Battle of Gibeon. That's where our story picks up. These 12 from each side have killed each other, and the Battle of Gibeon pursues where Israelite is fighting Israelite. Judah and David's army is fighting Israel and Ishbosheth's army, led by Abner. And what I want to look at is one of David's nephews, Asahel, who chases after his own glory, and in the pursuit of his own glory, loses his life. And Asahel is a great example of what happens to us if we do not take heed and continue to pursue sin. What will end up happening is that we will kill ourselves. So with that, let us turn to the Word of God and read this story, beginning in verse 18, and we'll read through verse 23. Sorry. It says this, and the three sons of Zariah, were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as swift of foot as a wild gazelle. And Asahel pursued Abner. And as he went, he turned neither to the right nor to the left from following Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, "Is that you, Asahel?" He answered, "It is I." Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and seize one of the young men and take his spoil." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I lift up my face to your brother Joab?" But he refused to turn aside. Therefore Abner struck him in the stomach with the butt of his spear, so that the spear came out his back. And he fell there and died where he was. And all who came to that place where Asahel had fallen and died stood still. Let us pray. Father, as we now turn to your word, may we see the deep spiritual truths that are there for us, that we would understand, that we would believe, and that we would obey. May we not chase after our own glory or after our own sin, but Father, may we turn aside and chase after you. May we rest in the righteousness secured for us by Christ and by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, walk according to your word, that we would live lives that are glorifying to you, that give us life, that bring us into life eternal. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So as I said, there's this battle that takes place. And this is the battle. What ends up happening is David's army whoops Abner's army. When you look at the end, it says that 18 times the casualties were given to Abner's army than David's. David loses 20 men, including the 12 at the pool, and then Abner loses 360 men, including the 12 at the pool. So David's army has an absolute victory. But in the middle of that battle, Abner and his men turn and run. And three men are there, the sons of Zeruiah. And they were Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Interestingly enough, Joab is named first, kind of pointing out his prominence among David's army and among the brothers. But he's not the oldest, not according to the genealogy in First Chronicles. Rather, it's probably Abishai who is the oldest. But Joab, in his prominence, becoming the commander of Yahweh's Yahweh's army under David, he has this prominent place, and I would say that he's not the greatest guy. And you see this at the end of David's life, where Solomon is rising to power, and he tells Benaiah to go and kill Joab because he cannot be in his son's kingdom. He doesn't trust him. And then there's Abishai, and then there's Asahel. Now these three men are the nephews of David through David's stepsister. And so these three men are well known because their uncle is the commander of the armies that they serve in, and then he is supposed to be the next king. They too are from Bethlehem. They too have heard this story that one time an old prophet by the name of Samuel had come and anointed their uncle, David, as king. And so just think about just the family dynamics that they have to live up to. Most of them are probably the same age as David, because David is the eighth of eight children, of eight sons. And so they probably all grew up together. They know David. They're close to David. And all that Asahel has ever heard is the glory of his uncle. Along with that, the glory of his two older brothers. During the Battle of Gibeon, it's now his time to shine. He sees an opportunity to make a name for himself like his uncle and like his two older brothers. I can finally have my own glory. I can finally be known as the man who took down Abner, the commander of Saul's army. I can be known as a man amongst the mighty men. Now, Asahel was as swift of foot as a wild gazelle. He may be the youngest of his three brothers, but he's also the fastest. He's the fastest man in all of David's army. And he thinks, if I can outrun everyone else and get to Abner, then I will have my own glory today. People will know me, and I will be known throughout all of Israel. And I will bring peace to the kingdom of David, because they would be out without a commander, and they would have to submit to David. And so, he's a swift of foot, and verse 19 tells us, Asahel pursued Abner. And as he went, he turned neither to the right nor to the left from Abner. His eyes were focused on his prize. His eyes were focused on getting the commander of Saul's army, to taking him down, to making a name for himself, to build up his own glory. And so he sees Abner, and he, being as swift as a wild gazelle, pursues him. And it says that he never turned to the right hand nor turned to the left. There was nothing in his mind that would take his eyes off of Abner. There was nothing that would get him to quit pursuing the one thing that he wanted more than anything else. And so he fixes his eyes on Abner and he pursues them. Nothing getting in his way. Nothing distracting him. His eyes are focused on it and he will pursue it to the end. But then in verse 20, Abner looked behind him and said, "Is that you, Asahel?" Again, Asahel wants the glory by taking Abner. But in doing so, he begins to isolate himself from his army. There's an old saying that says, if you want to go fast, then you should go alone. Because there's nothing that will slow you down. You can go as fast as your feet can carry you. But if you want to go far, then go together. Because when you go together, you have people to pick you up when you fall down. You have people to carry you when you're injured. You have people to care for you. So there's this old saying that if you want to go fast, then go alone. But if you want to go far, then you need to go together. And now Asahel had forgotten this. Because they are now running away from the battlefield back into the land of Benjamin, which is their enemy. And as he is pursuing Abner, he isolates himself from the rest of the army. He's all alone. Now, can I tell you something? Like, that's what sin does to us. Sin tries to isolate us from the body of Christ. It tries to send us out and isolate us from the brothers and sisters in Christ that we need. Because what we tend to do is, in our sin and in our shame, we tend to isolate and hide ourselves. Go to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sin. What did they do? Sew fig leaves together, hide in the bushes. God comes in the garden and they go, we got to hide. Sin tends to isolate us from the people that we need most. So as a church, the body of Christ protects the individual. And the individual is protected by the church. But what we do when we pursue sin is we take our eyes off of the body and only focus upon ourselves. We only focus upon the one thing that we want more than anything else, which is not God, but to fulfill our earthly, fleshly desires. And that's what Asahel does. He fixes his eyes on this idol. Glory, a name for himself, a name among the mighty men. And he pursues Abner with a bloodthirst in his mouth. And so Abner calls out, "Is that you, Asahel?" And he says, "It is I." And Abner warns him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left and seize one of the young men and take his spoil." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner calls out to him, "Quit pursuing me. Turn to the left or turn to the right." We get this picture in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word for repentance means to return from. Turn around and return to God. Turn around from your sin and return to God. In the New Testament, it's the same. To turn away from pursuing sin and begin to pursue God. And so Abner calls out and says, quit pursuing me. And the next time he warns him, quit pursuing me so I don't have to kill you and face your brother. That's what we do as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we see a brother or sister caught in sin, we call out to them. Quit pursuing sin. Turn away. Return to Christ. But sadly, sometimes we don't listen. We don't listen to the pleas of our brothers and sisters in Christ to turn from our sins. And we continue on the same path. But Asahel would not turn from following him. And Abner said again, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I lift up my face to your brother Joab? So Asahel pleads with him again. Turn away. Because if you don't turn, this will result in your death. And that's the truth of sin. If we continually pursue sin over and over and over again, it will result in our death. For the wages of sin is death. So if we continue pursuing sin, it will only result not in our earthly death, but also our eternal death. We need to stop pursuing sin. When brothers and sisters call out to us, we need to listen. When they say, turn from your sin, we need to be quick to return to God. Because if we don't, there is only death ahead of us. But if we listen, if we turn, and if we pursue God, there is forgiveness and eternal life. But it's not only that, but think about the consequences of sin. Sin not only affects you, but it affects those who are closest to you. Abner asks, why should I strike you to the ground? Why should I take your life? And by taking your life, how am I to lift up my face to your brother Joab? Asahel's selfish pursuit of Abner would not only affect his life, it would affect the life of his family. And that's what sin does as well. It not only affects us, it affects all those who are connected to us. If you're a husband, it affects your wife. It affects your children. It affects your friends. It affects the church. There's that old saying, sin will always take us further than we want to go. Asahel is running away from his comrades. He's running into Benjamin. It will keep us longer than we want to stay. And it will cost us more than we want to pay. It cost Asahel his life. And he stays a lot longer there than he was planning to. The cost of his pursuit of glory was his life. The cost of us pursuing sin is the same price, our life. There's a saying in the book of Titus that after warning them twice, have nothing to do with them. Speaking about false teachers, but you see that apply here as well. He speaks twice, warning him, turn to the left or turn to the right. And then he warns him again, do it or you will die, and how am I to face your brother? So Abner warns him two times to stop, but verse 23 tells us, but he refused to turn aside. This is what I love about Matthew 18 and the principle of church discipline, is that it gives us so many chances. So many chances to repent. If your brother sins against you, go to him in private. And if he listens to you, then you have gained your brother back. But if he won't listen to you, then take two or three with you. And if he won't listen to you, then go to the elders. And if he won't listen to the elders, then take him to the church. And if he won't listen to the church, then cast him out. The Bible gives us so many chances at redemption, so many chances at forgiveness, so many chances at restitution and being restored. So is the grace of God in our lives. That no matter how many times we mess up, we can never out-sin the shadow of the cross. We can never out-sin the redemption of Christ for his elect. But Paul says, should we go on sinning? Absolutely not. But he refused to turn aside. His pursuit of glory ends in his earthly death. Refusing to turn to the side, Abner struck him in the stomach with the butt of his spear, so that the spear came out his back. Now, if you understand weapons in ancient history and ancient Israel, the spear would have a tip to it, a head to it, which is the thrusting end of the spear. And then sometimes the spear would either have a blunt end, or it would sometimes be sharpened to a point as another jabbing side, or put a metal point on it. But regardless, it was a lot more dull than the front end of the spear. And so what we get here is either one of two things. Abner thrusts his spear backwards into Asahel when it gets close, or he puts his spear into the ground and Asahel, with his speed, not turning to the right or turning to the left, runs right onto the spear. It is Asahel who puts himself in this danger. He leaves the safety of being with his brothers and sisters. He continually pursues Abner, and to the point where his not turning to the left or turning to the right results in him being swift of foot, running quickly onto the spear and to his death. And what a gruesome death that he dies. The spear ripping through his intestines and out his back. Probably struggling. Probably fear. Probably thinking, what have I done? And that's what happens when we sin. It results in a gruesome end. In a gruesome death. Thinking, how did I waste my life pursuing sin in this way? And so Asahel is this analogy of the one who will not stop pursuing his sin. If we don't stop pursuing our sin, it's going to end in a gruesome death. But not only that, that gruesome death is going to have an impact on all who see it. So he is pursuing sin, and not turning to the left or to the right, he runs straight to his death. And that death is of his own doing. The death is a result of him pursuing his sin and not wanting to turn away from it, but fixing his eyes upon it. That's what sin does. It offers us all these promises, but all it gives us is death and destruction. And so it's Abner's calling out to him, turn to the left or turn to the right. He doesn't, and he runs. And he's the one who thrusts himself upon that spear. And it says that he fell there and he died. When we fall into sin, it will result in our death if we do not turn from it. And all who came to that place where Asahel had fallen died, and died, stood still. Now the language there tells us not only that the army of David stopped and stared at it, but even the Benjaminite army stopped and stared. That all were in fear and in awe and dread of what they had seen take place. That's what it should be like when we watch a brother fall into sin or a sister fall into sin. That we stop and dread and stand still. Stand still as a warning for those who think that they can persevere under their own strength. But also realizing that that was us before Christ came and rescued us. Before Christ came and picked us up off the path that we were on and turned us somewhere else. But the story doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with his death. Rather, while everyone else stood still, Joab, and Abishai picked up the same pursuit that had just killed their brother. Our sin has consequences. One of those consequences is it will result in our death. But it picks up and puts Abishai and Joab and puts them on the same path. This comes back to leadership. Good leadership will lead people down paths of righteousness. Bad leadership will carry people down bad paths. And so his brothers, while everyone stood still and were in dread of what just happened to Abishai, or Asahel, Joab and Abishai continued to pursue that which just killed their brother. And then it actually ends with an interesting thing where they talk about how this battle resulted in brothers killing brothers. How sin has resulted in us trying to kill each other. That's what sin will do. If we are not a repentant people, if we are not quick to pursuing Christ, if we are not quick to ask for forgiveness and to give for forgiveness, then what will result is brother and sister will turn upon each other and we'll have civil war within the church. So here's the danger of pursuing sin. It puts you at risk. It puts you at risk of death. It puts you at risk of the judgment of God if you continually pursue sin and do not rest in the righteousness of Christ. But it not only affects you, it affects those around you. Your sin will affect, if you're married, your wife, your kids. In the church, it will affect your friends, your brothers, your sisters in Christ. And it will cause carnage. So we need to learn from the life of Asahel. That we need to be quick to admit when we were wrong. And we need to be quick to ask for forgiveness. And we need to be quick to give forgiveness. But above all, we need to stop pursuing sin as though it's the chief end of man. The Bible's clear. Sin is pleasurable for a time. But not long. And it will result in your death. It will cost you more than you ever want to pay. But for those who find salvation in Christ, who has paid the penalty of their sin upon the cross, who has absorbed the wrath of God, who have turned from their sin and turned to Christ, well then, they will have life eternal. It's the exact opposite of what happens to Asahel. They will find a good godly king who rules over them in a good godly land under a good godly law and live a good godly life, not just in this life, but in the life to come. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we going to pursue sin, which will not only bring about destruction of our life, but the destructions of those around us? Or are we going to pursue Christ? Whose glory are we chasing after? Are we chasing after our own glory, which will just end in this life? Are we chasing after the glory of the King that is to come and rule forever and ever? So I set before you, what sin are you pursuing in your life? I hope none. But will you lay down that pursuit, turn around and pursue Christ with as much love for Him as you loved your own sin before He called you? Because if you pursue sin, you will die. But if we pursue Christ, we will find eternal life. There's a reason that Jesus comes and says, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way to destruction." Because many people find that path easy to pursue. They pursue after their own fleshly desires, their own fleshly idols, and they think that it will bring them happiness. And all it brings is about destruction. Asahel could not take his eyes off of his own glory, and it results in his death. But Jesus says, narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. There's a reason that Jesus says, pick up your cross and die to self daily, and follow me. It's a narrow gate and a narrow path that you must follow. Not many take it, and yet it results in eternal life. Not by our doing, but by the doing of the redemption of Christ and by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But what are we pursuing today? And what are we pursuing for all of eternity? If we pursue sin, we will die. If we pursue Christ, there is life eternal. Let's pray. Father, there is a great temptation and an even greater danger in pursuing sin. May we look at the life of Asahel and realize that we once were pursuing sin and pursuing the desires of our flesh and the wants of our flesh and the wants of our idols, and all of that was resulting in our eternal death. That we were all on a path to destruction, but by your great grace and great mercy, you came along and you plucked us off of that path and put us onto the path of righteousness. That you sent your Son to die on our behalf so that in him there is no more wrath for those who are in Christ Jesus, but rather there is life and peace. And you set us on this path and call us to pursue you. And so, Father, I pray that as we face many dangers and as we face the pursuit of sin, that you would call to us, that our brothers and sisters would call to us to turn, and that we would listen, and that we would turn and find you to be a gracious and forgiving God, because you are. You are long-suffering in our sin, and you are patient towards us. And in your graciousness, you continually call us from our sin to paths of righteousness. And so, Father, may we find reconciliation through the Son, and may we find empowerment by the Spirit to turn from our sin and to follow after you. May we not pursue sin, which will result in our death and our destruction, but may we pursue you, which will result in eternal life, where we may glorify you and enjoy you forever. Father, as we leave this place, may we be reminded of the goodness that you have upon us. May we be empowered to proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world, that your people may come to salvation. Use us, O Lord, this week. We pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.